Welcome to SCOTUscast, Social Security Benefits and In Vitro Fertilization Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On May 21, 2012, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Astru v. Capato. The question in this case was whether twins who were conceived in vitro after the death of their biological father were eligible for Social Security Child Survivor Benefits. The Social Security Administration determined that they were not because they could not inherit the father's personal property under state law, a requirement under the Social Security Act, but a federal appellate court disagreed and ruled in favor of the twins. In an opinion delivered by Justice Ginsburg, the Supreme Court unanimously reversed the lower appellate court, holding that the Social Security Administration's interpretation of the Act was better attuned to the statute's text and design and entitled to judicial deference. To discuss the case, we have Adam White, who is counsel at the law firm of Boyd & Gray & Associates, a regulatory strategy and litigation firm in D.C. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. White.
When it came to statutory interpretation cases, Felix Frankfurter offered law students a simple rule in three steps. Step one, read the statute. Step two, read the statute. Step three, read the statute. But of course, matters are not always so simple, especially in the cases that make it all the way to the Supreme Court. For often, cases present circumstances that the statute's drafters simply never expected. Indeed, circumstances that they never could have expected. For example, how should the Social Security Act's survivor benefits provisions, which provide financial support to orphans, apply in cases where the child in question was conceived after his biological father had died? This would have been an incomprehensible question in 1939 and 1965, when the relevant Social Security Act provisions were originally enacted and revised. But today, in an age of miraculous reproductive technologies, where sperm donated before the donor's death can be preserved and used after the donor's death to conceive a child, well, this is an increasingly common question. And these were the circumstances in Astru versus Capato, a case heard by the Supreme Court in March and decided on May 21st. Karen and Robert Capato were married in 1999. After he was diagnosed with cancer, Robert deposited sperm in a sperm bank to preserve the couple's ability to conceive children. And although they conceived one child naturally, they continued to look forward to having more children until fate intervened and Robert died in 2002. Nearly a year later, using the sperm that Robert had deposited, Karen conceived twins through in vitro fertilization. When the twins were born, 18 months after their father's death, Karen applied for Social Security benefits on behalf of the twins under Section 402D of the Social Security Act. That law provides that, quote, every child of a deceased individual shall, quote, be entitled to a child's insurance benefit. The Social Security Administration denied her claim, and the District Court affirmed that denial, but the Third Circuit reversed. The question before the courts and the agency was, who qualifies as a, quote, child within the meaning of the Social Security Act? Section 416E of the Act offers a circular definition. A, quote, child is, first and foremost, quote, the child or legally adopted child of the deceased. Citing this definition, Mrs. Capato argued, and the Third Circuit agreed, that the twins were self-evidently Mr. Capato's children within the meaning of the law. They were the biological children of married parents, which rendered the twins Mr. Capato's indisputable children. Or at least that was Mrs. Capato's argument and the Third Circuit's conclusion. But the Social Security Administration disagreed. Instead, the government pointed to Section 416 H2A of the Act, which provides that, quote, in determining whether an applicant is the child or parent of an insured individual for the purposes of this subchapter, the Commissioner of Social Security shall apply the intestacy law of the insured individual state. In short, the government disagreed with Mrs. Capato's argument that children born of married biological parents automatically qualify as children eligible for federal benefits. Instead, the twins would need to satisfy the state's definition of children. Weighing each side's argument, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the government. It did not need to actually decide whether the government's interpretation of the Social Security Act was better than Mrs. Capato's interpretation, let alone decide whether the government's interpretation was altogether unassailable. Instead, the famous doctrine of Chevron deference was decisive. The statute did not unambiguously support Mrs. Capato's interpretation, and the government's interpretation was not unreasonable. And so the court deferred to the government's reasonable interpretation. Still, in walking through the parties' arguments, the court made clear its belief that the government's interpretation was, in fact, more plausible, in fact, much more plausible than Mrs. Capato's. First, Capato's categorical argument, namely that biological children of married parents should automatically qualify under the law for benefits, simply is not reflected in the statutory text. You can't find that language anywhere in the law. Second, the statute elsewhere draws a distinction between children generally and the offspring of marriage specifically. If the offspring of marriage are automatically children, then such distinctions would be irrelevant. Third, laws often provide that a baby is not automatically considered to be the legal child of his biological father. Fourth, reliance upon the state's definition of child would mirror the Social Security Act's reliance upon the state's definitions of wife, widow, husband, and widower. Fifth, the court observed that Congress's original purpose in creating survivor benefits was to provide dependent members of a wage earner's family with protection against the hardship imposed by the loss of the deceased parent's earnings. In this case, by contrast, the twins, conceived and born after their father's death, had suffered no such loss because they had never relied upon their father's earnings to begin with. Furthermore, the court agreed that a categorical test based on biological parentage could not be implicit in the statute because when the law was first passed in 1939, it was simply impossible to prove scientifically biological fatherhood, and that's why the word biological doesn't appear anywhere in the statute. Finally, the court even disputed Mrs. Capato's suggestion that the twins were, in fact, the offspring of a marriage. Under Florida law, a marriage ends upon the death of one spouse. Therefore, when the twins were conceived and born, after Mr. Capato's death, Mrs. Capato was not evidently married to Mr. Capato anymore. Taken together all of these considerations, the court unanimously concluded that the government's interpretation of the act, which the government had developed through notice and comment rulemaking and adhered to without deviation for many decades, is, quote, at least reasonable, and therefore, quote, is entitled to the court's deference under Chevron. Mrs. Capato's interpretation, by contrast, was one that the court found, quote, the statute's text scarcely supports. The court's decision resolves a split between several circuits. The Ninth Circuit, like the Third Circuit, had held that biological children were automatically entitled to benefits. The Fourth and Eighth Circuits, by contrast, had endorsed the government's position. But the Supreme Court's decision should mark the beginning of a discussion, not the end. The Social Security Administration has received over 100 applications for survivor benefits in cases resembling the Capato case. Just as Congress passed the current survivor benefit laws in 1939 and 1965, to respond to the felt necessities of the time, Congress must now consider whether the recent explosion in reproductive technologies and the attendant ethical, moral, and political questions now require a modification of the law. Mrs. Capato's position may well be correct as a matter of policy. Perhaps the government should automatically grant survivor benefits to biological offspring of married parents, even when one parent's death preceded the child's conception. Such a policy would reaffirm the government's commitment to encouraging families to have children. This is a question that can only be decided by the current Congress, and Congress is yet to come.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.